The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Right this way, folks. You're now entering the courting. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in Progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in Progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork. Come, Luigi.
I love a soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are all corks the same?
No. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in Progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget. This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks. And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The game. Andy's not here today, is he?
Thank God, no.
Why isn't he here?
Who cares?
Summer of Andy continues.
I thought he just took Tuesdays off.
Yeah. He's... Fred, any day he doesn't want to be here is a good day.
Not
so just
here.
Don't
right.
question it.
But the rest of the gang's here. Paul's here. Eric's here.
No, Belo.
Tweeting. Belo, I don't know where he is. Is he vacationing today, too?
I don't know. Has he been invited?
Kevin's in the booth. We actually have quite a bit of things to talk about, mostly football related.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you were talking about the Supreme Court ruling.
Well,
mostly football related.
You know, not all of them Patriots, but definitely football related.
Can we start with the biggest news of the day?
Here on PFW in Progress. What is that?
The change from 4:15 kickoffs to 4:25.
That's a huge deal.
Huge.
I don't know why they just...
It's idiotic, now, though, why they went to 10 minutes and not 15.
Well, exactly.
That's what Fred said. Why don't just make
why
it 4:30?
Why not just go to 4:30? But if you haven't heard... The league decided today that the 4:15 games will now start at 4:25 to avoid the overlap. Those are those doubleheader games.
Correct.
And, okay, I understand. Why not just go to 4:30? You know,
yeah,
why 4:25?
I don't know, Fred.
Right.
I don't know.
But anyway, so that's you'll be seeing those changes.
So that affects the Patriots twice.
Twice, yep.
Against the Broncos at home, I believe. And
yep,
then
both
home
games.
The Jets game at home about three or so weeks later,
right.
3 or 4 weeks later.
So overall,
the first Jets game,
I think it affects 40 games on the NFL schedule.
And it does not include the 4:05 games.
No, and there's only one of those that New
England is involved in. 4:05s remain 4:05 or 4 o'clock, as we like to say. But
as we like to say.
So that's
came, big news.
Yeah,
big
that
news.
Came out today. Other thing that we'll get into is this big debate that's raging. LaDainian Tomlinson. Excuse me.
Yeah, we haven't even eaten lunch yet.
You know, sometimes when you don't eat much, you have that, it's like an acidy type of thing.
The empty stomach burp.
Yeah. Anyway, so LaDainian Tomlinson started it when he said that he would prefer going into the Hall of Fame, if he had to choose, going to the Hall of Fame versus winning
a
championship. And so the debate has raged. Initially, this was, of course LaDainian Tomlinson would choose the individual honor versus, but a lot of people have, you know, players have said, no, I agree with that for various reasons. So we'll get into that. We'll talk about that as well. Robert Kraft was interviewed by a guy from England.
Yep.
Sky Sports.
Sky Sports.
No, I like it better. A guy from England.
Reynolds. Nate Reynolds is his name.
I don't know what his name was. It just says according to Sky Sports.
Anyway, he had a pretty in-depth interview with him, and among the topics was London.
Yeah.
Robert said that he really believes that they should have at least two games there per year, and he thinks that'll happen soon. And he also believes that there should be a team in London.
Yep. Not the Patriots.
Not the Patriots,
but
though. Yeah.
He wants New England to be the road team every year.
He does.
He said.
Okay. Well.
It's magnanimous of him.
So that means we'd have
an extra home game.
But right. Yeah, but now we have the we'd have to play the Rams the next 2 years if that were the case. But we
no, not if there's two games.
Oh, that's a good point.
Not if there's two
that's
games.
That's right. If there are two games. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
So that's probably why he mentioned that. Right. But anyway, so that was their permanent team in London.
I'm in favor of that, by the way.
And Robert's been pretty consistent with that. Mm-hmm. Back from our trip to London in 2009, mm-hmm. if I recall, we had some updates at the time when he was talking about, A, the desire to have a team permanently in Europe, London specifically, B, the desire to be sort of a semi-regular or permanent visiting team in London.
But
he also even got into his whole Premier League soccer thing, why he wouldn't want to be an owner there.
Right. And he reiterated that today, too.
That was part of this interview as well.
Well,
the guy from London,
obviously, he's asking him those questions.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not making – this is a story. But, it's a big story
but,
in London.
You know, although I wouldn't mind playing a road game in London every year, but if I'm the team that commits to being the London team – I don't want the same team kind of stealing fans away from me.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I would also say if I am an AFC East team, I don't want another AFC East team permanently having a neutral site game instead of a road game.
Yeah, that's what it would be.
And if I'm the Jets or the Bills or the Dolphins, I specifically don't want the Patriots because it's not a neutral site game for the Patriots.
No, it's not. It's
a quasi-home game.
It's a home game.
Right.
You know, and we were there in 2009.
Yep. It was a home game.
It was Tampa Bay's home game on paper, but the crowd was very pro-Patriot.
It was a home game.
And the Patriots have a very strong following with the UK fan club and all that we have comes here every year with a large contingent. A lot of them come on our radio show. I don't think other teams have anything that can even compete with the kind of following that we have in London.
Right. And then the dining hall and weight room transition continues here at Gillette
We were just
Stadium.
Talking about that, Paul.
If people don't know, the Patriots have decided to expand the weight room for the team.
At the expense of the media work.
Right.
We're going to try to get some of those photos up on, probably Patriots.com as well, but also in the next issue of Patriots Football Weekly.
In order to do so, they eliminated the media work room where during the week Belichick and Brady do their press conferences and the media work out of. So that has to be relocated. Do we have any word? Is that going to be just Red Level Press?
Looks like Red Level Press.
Yeah, is inconvenient for both the coach and the player
everybody,
who has to go to the podium.
Everybody, really. So the media workroom this year will be located where the press box is, which is, if you don't know the stadium, it's basically from one end zone to another, plus about 10 yards.
Plus, yeah, that's
true. So it's about 120 yards away, plus going up an elevator four floors. So it's inconvenient. I know that people make fun of us when we start using that word talking about this job, but you know, for players to have to go all the way from the locker room there, it's going to be kind of a pain.
Yep.
So, but that'll be a one-year thing, and then they'll figure it out.
Well, the players won't really have to do that a whole lot, though.
No, they won't.
Because really, the players only go to the podium after
the
game.
True, but Brady will.
Yeah.
And he probably won't do it.
You mean during the week?
Yeah.
Week. And the post game won't change, right?
That's what I'm saying. Post game, they'll go to the same
place.
Different media.
Yeah, they go to
the interview room. Right. Post game is different than the media workroom.
Yeah.
You know, this fascinating stuff.
So big changes. But getting back to how it affects the players, they're going to have a bigger weight room.
But I didn't think of Brady, though. You're right. Brady already is sort of reluctant to do that podium thing, and maybe this will be
the straw.
So the weight room's being expanded, and they're putting in actual field turf in the weight room so they can do some of the – they do this big thing with the ropes, and they do some shuttle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
really?
They're going to actually put – when they have the type of movement drills or exercises that they do, they'll be able to actually do it on field turf in the weight room.
Right now
– that'll be cool.
That'll help with rehab stuff too, right?
Well,
the injured players can
– the expanded portion of the weight room too is going to give them more room. And so with the field turf that Fred's talking about, right now they do some things, believe it or not, right out in the concourse, which is just regular cement.
The service tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, not the fan concourse. This is underneath the in the bowels of the stadium, as they like to say. So a lot of, you know, big medicine ball stuff. You talked about the heavy ropes that they do. They even do, sometimes we've even seen some players do some boxing kind of workouts. Mm-hmm. Well, there's not enough room inside the weight room to have all these separate things going on with the, you know, the various equipment and apparatus and whatnot. So not only are you going to have that field turf, but you're going to have more room to do some of these kinds of things that they had to do out in the open. Now they can do it inside
in addition to
privacy of the room.
In addition to expanding the weight room, they're going to be expanding the dining hall, which, you know, okay, big deal. But from what I understand, it's going to be pretty cool where they'll have, you know, different stations where you can make your shakes. And they have that kind of now, but it's a little bit clumped together. Now there'll be different areas for different, you know, guys that are on different types of diets. We'll be able to just go to that area.
We're going to take part in that at all?
Yeah, the steak and cheese section will be, you know, down the hall for Paul. But so that's good. And you know, one of the things that the Patriots have always done right since they've moved to Gillette Stadium is if these guys want, they can get three meals a day here.
Yeah.
Plus, so really, there's no
three hots and a cot.
Right. There's no reason to leave. So the more incentive you give them to stay. And food is one of the best centers in the world. The better it is, you know, the more likely they'll be able to want to watch film more. But they've always been able to get three meals a day here.
Yep.
So,
and a lot of the players that we talked to from other teams, and that seemed like you started off this whole thing, it seems like a minor insignificant thing, but a lot of the players talk about that as being a real selling point. It's a real selling point.
Hell
it's a real.
Yeah.
It's not so you know, but you make it sound like, well, they, you know, they don't have to pay for their meals or whatever. It's not about money. It's convenience and quality.
Right.
Gerard Mayo's literally never going home now.
It's convenience and quality. That. I mean, I don't think that all the other teams have the extent of the chef service that the players are privy to here. And I forget which one. We talked to a lot of different free agent newcomers, Will Allen, Daniel Fells. I forget one specifically mentioned that he had never had anything like that in terms of the food, you know,
the quality
services
of the
provided here, which make it so easy for you as part of the off-season program.
I'm trying to get them to do some type of employee service.
You should have had them cater the.
I mean, would you be willing to
the party?
The party was fine, though.
Would you be willing to have $25 a week taken out of your pay for?
Well, we already get lunch provided for us, so no.
Well, no, but I mean, if you didn't.
I absolutely would.
I would absolutely. $5 a day? I would do that.
Depends how good it is. Depends how good it is.
Assuming it's good. Jeez.
I would absolutely do that. Yeah. I wouldn't. Well,
you have a deli bar.
I almost said something really bad.
You have a deli bar, maybe a soup offering, and a couple hots.
If they were going to do what they do for the players, for us, for $25 a week out of our check, absolutely.
Yeah.
Subsidized calf, basically.
I would absolutely do that. So, anyway. And one of the reasons why the Patriots can do what they do with food is because Gillette Stadium is a 365-day venue. I mean, we have, you know, conferences here and conventions and all kinds of things. So they have to have a working food and beverage department. So this, you know, the chef just doesn't come in for the Patriots. He's here for other things too. So that makes it possible to do all that. So that's some of the news. And then finally, at least on my docket, is this whole NFL list where Brady comes up number 4.
I'm so sick
I'm not as crazy mad about it as some people are.
And before, because I know we probably have some emails from people who are irate about the NFL, NFL.com, NFL Network. The players voted on this. This wasn't NFL Network, I found out today. Because I just decided, okay, now that they've...
Well, we knew that all along.
Well, I know, but we're getting some hate mail from people saying, oh, the NFL.com doesn't know what it's doing, blah, 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 because apparently the NFL...
Well, I'm sure there's some manipulation. I'm sure that it's not...
It's not just a straight vote?
I'm sure that once the votes come in... Because, again, they're voting for 100 people. So unless people had to list 100 people, how can they possibly get... guys that
and we're told that they're I don't know if this is true or not, but we're told that they put down like their top 20, and then the argument, the example we always use, I feel like Fred, this empty stomach burp, I guess. They keep you know, the fullbacks, you know, like Vontae Leach has been on this list in the past. I don't think he was this year, but no one put him in their top 20 NFL players.
Right.
You know, so how are these guys all being represented? But, I mean, I don't know how they do it. I don't know why people...
I don't know why people care so much.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why people get up in a list.
It's a stupid list to get you through the offseason.
I love lists for discussion purposes, and I'm perfectly happy because I know that that's where we're going to be going today because people are up in arms that Brady was four. But I don't know why anybody would lose sleep over it. It seems like people lose sleep over this stuff.
I'm not so...
Get a life.
I'm not so worried, A, because you're right. It means nothing. But B, I can understand if it is, in fact, a player vote where they would be reluctant to vote for quarterbacks. Because if you're a player...
They're three of the top four.
I know, but like Calvin Johnson, is there any doubt that he is a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
He's a better athlete than all the other three
but that's not
in the top four.
The question is football.
I know, but like if I'm a player, I'm like, you know...
I mean, to me, I have no problem with Calvin Johnson. To me, he is... one of the very, very best players in the league. I know that seemed to be the one that rankled everybody's feathers.
Yeah.
No one had a problem with – well, I shouldn't say no
one. Not no one.
Few had problems with Rodgers and Breeze, but it was Johnson that seemed to jar everybody's ire.
I think
Johnson
one or two.
Is one of the most physically gifted football players that I've ever seen, let alone right now in the league.
Right. One or two, I think Johnson should be.
Imagine –
I don't get that.
If he had his whole career playing, I mean, Stafford is really sort of coming into his own. He threw for 5,000 yards last year. But can you imagine if he had Rodgers every game or Breeze every game or Brady every game?
Right. Mm.
What he would have done for the last 6 years or how many years he's been in the league?
What was the last game he played last year?
The playoff game.
Yeah, and
he was immense. He's immense every
against
year.
The Saints,
it was
right?
a man I mean, first boy.
Gronkowski had 17 touchdowns. You know how many Calvin Johnson had?
Oh, my God.
16.
Yeah. On the Lions.
I mean, we're talking about Gronkowski, and rightly so.
Right.
With, you know, how great and special the season he had, and Gronk deserves every bit of those accolades. Calvin Johnson is by himself, 16.
I know.
One less.
See, so I don't have any problem if players made him number one.
And touchdown catches, by the way. Gronk had 18 touchdowns total.
Yeah.
Before I get that
looking,
even.
Looking at his, you know, his God-given talent.
Well, you'll get it, Paul.
You know, his God-given talent, how he plays the game. Now, I understand the importance of the quarterback is so high that, you know, players are going to, you know, vote for those guys. But, you know, I can understand why a guy like Calvin Johnson pushes down Brady, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And listen, if Brady was ahead of Calvin Johnson, I wouldn't sit there and say, that's ridiculous, Calvin Johnson's, isn't that? But I'm just saying, you know, Darrell Revis was five. Calvin Johnson, these guys are the greatest of the great. I have no problem.
And at that point, you're splitting hairs. It's
with
like
those
the whole
guys.
During the heyday, Brady or Manning debate.
Yeah,
you know,
no problem.
I mean,
problem.
You're splitting hairs right there.
Right,
who's first? Who's second? I mean, come on.
Now the argument, and I hear what they're saying for Brady is he was number one last year. He had a crappy defense this year, and his numbers were better, right? Better than last.
His numbers
year.
Were better than hit. This year than they were last year,
right?
Yes.
And he was number
but they
one
weren't
last
better,
year.
But they weren't better than the other guys.
No, but he was
Breeze and Rodgers exceeded him.
But he was
numbers wise,
right?
Again,
yeah.
I'm not really looking for the emails.
Right, he was number one last year, and his the team around him on at least in defense, he got less help is the argument, and yet he still maintained.
Although
the
Breeze and Rodgers had
to the Super Bowl,
Breeze and Rodgers still had pretty bad defenses,
and
they didn't get
to the Super Bowl. He got them to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So that's the argument that Brady should have maintained.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Breeze and Rodgers, I argue that I would have gotten to the Super Bowl, too, if I was in the
AFC.
See,
Breeze, I don't think Breeze should be in the conversation. I really don't.
I really don't understand how you could say that.
Why do you say that?
I think that...
They set a record for passing yards, and you don't think you should be in a conversation?
He does it in a crappy division. He just chucks it up there, and you know...
Boy, oh boy. You don't even believe it. Yeah, I can tell with the smirk on your face. You don't believe it.
That was
he
so
doesn't
stupid,
believe
he
it.
Couldn't even get me
no,
in an
I,
argument.
No.
Yeah, I don't...
He doesn't buy it.
I just...
Where's the... You
about,
don't even believe your own crap soundbite.
There's something about Breeze that just doesn't... For me, I don't put him in there
why,
with Rodgers
he's not 6'4"?
And Brady and Peyton Manning.
Because he's not tall?
Some people
would
say because he plays
passer.
In a dome. And it's easier to throw in a dome.
There's an unbelievable advantage in that Superdome. It really is. It's an amazingly loud place, plus the fact it's indoors. You know, I think that's a big advantage over Rodgers and Brady. I think it is.
Fred,
so? I still think he's a good
quarterback. Don't even believe your own crap now.
There you go.
You don't.
If you want to put Brady or Rodgers or both ahead of him, fine. I mean, you don't want him in the conversation.
Well, that's so stupid. I can't even argue with
that. He shouldn't even be in the top 100.
No,
Paul.
No, I'd say top seven. But I think
Brady is better than Breeze, and I think he's been better than Breeze every year. But to not put him in the conversation, you couldn't even get me in an argument over that.
All right, you guys get anything that you want to put on the table?
I think you covered it, Freddie. I think you set the table very well.
You did a good job right there, Freddie.
You did some show prep.
Did you take your meds this morning? That was pretty good.
Are you happy with the SCOTUS ruling?
Listen.
Uh-oh.
Here's my feeling on that whole thing. I'm glad that the glad that the Supreme Court upheld the mandate. But I am the first to admit that bill is not a great bill. It needs to be worked on and made better. Okay? So that's all I'm going to say about it. But I'm glad that they upheld it because a lot of people depended on that.
Are you surprised who the swing vote was?
Oh, yeah. Real
stunned.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justice Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, real surprise. But I think he realized that, you know, going by the letter of the law, the Congress has the right to tax people. And basically this is what this is. You know, if you want to look at it that way, I can see the argument the other way. The bigger issue is how do we make healthcare better in this country? And the problem is half the Congress doesn't want to help do that.
No.
That's the problem. So anyway,
we agree, Freddie.
Getting back to football,
see, it wasn't so bad, Paul.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I'm just
38
Paul's
seconds.
Watching Sports Center.
38 seconds of my life that I can't get
back. I'm just pissed the stock market is tanking now.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, screw
it. It's down like 150
points. It'll go back up next week. That's webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. So if you want to join in any of those topics.
Celtics draft picks you want to throw out there for tonight.
I heard Danny Ainge is desperately trying to move up in the lottery. Or not in the lottery, but in the draft. Right
he's
now.
Always he's very much like Bill. He's always looking to move around.
Yeah,
to a lottery pick.
Yeah, he wants to move up in the lottery.
Yeah, he's always looking to move around.
Not in the lottery. I keep saying the lottery in the draft.
Paul, what do you think about? But into the lottery picks area.
Well, I don't know how high.
It's only about 8 picks.
What about Kid Gilchrist, Paul? I've been reading about
number two.
That's what I've been reading about stuff about them possibly looking to trade up that
Cookie
night.
Gilchrist.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that.
They have 4 players under contract.
Cookie Rojas.
They don't have enough to move up. They'd have to trade like their next 3 years.
I mean,
worth
it would,
of picks.
It would be all of the picks plus like I suppose you could do Ray Allen or something, but I'm not sure that gets you the number two pick. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, I was kind of only joking about the Celtics talk.
Would you trade Pierce? I'd trade Pierce to get up there. Yeah,
and I'm not sure that gets you up to number two either.
Yeah, Pierce and some money maybe. I don't know. All right. What should we do first? Let's talk about this Tomlinson thing.
Okay.
I have a feeling this is going to develop into our next great debate.
Well, it's so far it's been a great debate for not just us, but a lot of people have been debating. And I'll just read an email from TG and NJ. He says, it's been going on all morning on NFL at NFL on Sirius XM. Even ESPN got into it. LaDainian Tomlinson got it kicked off the other day. It's the next great debate, Super Bowl versus Hall of Fame. Hope you PFW boys will get into it today instead of your usual non-football off-season topics. It's a debate that has as much legs as the 19-0 debate.
Yeah, I agree.
Seems there is no correct answer. It's all based on your perspective. Trent Dilfer says it's no-brainer, Hall of Fame. Harry Carson says Super Bowl. What would Barry Sanders say? Dan Marino, Wes Welker. To me, it comes down to this. Would you rather be David Tyree or John Hanna? So if that's the case, then... Yeah. It's Hall of Fame.
Here's my one.
I'd rather be John
Hanna
than David
Tyree.
Here's
my one little
flaw
with this,
yeah,
and I'm not going to weigh in with my side yet. Although you, Fred, you know this because we went through it yesterday.
Yeah. No. I think I'm going to write it tomorrow.
My problem is it's an imperfect hypothetical, and I mean hypotheticals by definition are imperfect because they don't exist. But just exactly with TG said, you know, basically it comes down to would you rather be David Tyree or who? Who was it?
John Hanna.
The
guy who's in the Hall of Fame that didn't win a Super Bowl.
Well, I don't think there's anybody in the world that would rather be David Tyree than John Hanna. But the question is, would you rather be John Hanna with a ring or John Hanna
Would you rather be Dan Marino?
So you can only use the guys that are eligible for the Hall of
Fame. The thing that's a problem is probably you'd have to lessen a guy's ability to get him out of the Hall of Fame. Because John Hanna, had they won the Super Bowl in 1985, would still be a Hall of Fame caliber player, obviously.
Right.
So then he would have both, and that would be the best of both worlds.
Right.
So to allow this to work, you have to lessen Hannah's ability, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you have to be less
of a...
Because
you have to take him out of the Hall of Fame.
You have to be less of a Hall of Famer.
Would you rather be John Elway or Dan Marino? Would that one
work?
Well,
John Elway has both.
John Elway because he's better.
He has both.
Not because of the Super Bowl rings. And just let it out of the bag. What I would rather be great. I'd rather be the greatest that I could be. So, Eric, you seem like you're ready to... jump at the bit at this. So go at it. I really think this is a great.
It's a great one.
It's a great debate, and it's going to take over for that undefeated.
Yeah,
thing.
I would rather be great too, but I think you play the game to win a championship. So I would rather have a Super Bowl ring. I know that you have all of the ancillary benefits of, you know, being able to charge for your appearances and do all that kind of stuff if you have HOF at the end of your name. But my feeling is you play all the games every week for one reason. Not to get into Canton, but to get a ring.
Well, that's I kind of agree with you, Eric. Here's the way I feel. It's a team sport, so I agree with you. But B, if you take away the Hall of Fame, its existence, you still have a reason to play football, pro football.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take away championships, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point? If there's no reason to see who's the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's a competitive sport, team sport. So if you
so you need a championship for that? You can't just play a game and see if you're better than the other team?
You need some result, some at the end
of the competition.
Well, at the end of the year,
but you have to
you need some way to say who's the best team. Well, that's the whole point.
If you take that away, you kind of lose the point.
How would you determine who the best team is?
Well, who are all these people that play sports without a Super Bowl at the end of the rainbow.
But they
know
they try to.
You try to win. You try to beat the other team.
Right,
it's competition.
It's not a one game season.
It's not. So I win the Super Bowl and
yes,
I win the championship. No, it's not.
That's your goal.
There's
every
a lot
year.
Of levels that you play at. You don't even have playoffs.
Oh, for God's sake! Here we go.
I don't understand why
you're talking about pro sports. Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about pro sports. In every pro sport, some result that ends with this team was the best this year.
Right.
So you can do something that is absolutely impossible, like take away the championship, but I can't say that there are plenty of different levels that they don't have championships?
What
levels don't have
about?
Championships?
There's a lot. I mean, most people don't play pro sports. Why do they play?
Well,
why do people that play sports that aren't in the pros?
For the fun of it.
Competition. So why couldn't they just play for competition? They get paid.
Because no one would pay for that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. You
so why do we pay? So why do we pay to go to high school games?
The whole idea with pro sports.
You pay to go to a high school game?
Of course you do.
The whole idea. Yeah.
Who pays to go to a high school game?
Even in the MIAA,
anybody to get in. You can't just walk in off the street. You got to pay for your ticket.
So then, why do they have championships in MIAA?
Well, Fred.
This is
are you telling
me
that people play high school football to win championships?
No,
well,
but I'm telling you that
if you
in
were
the pros,
student,
the idea is to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
It's to win the Super Bowl. That's what they tell us every year. The goal is to win championships.
I understand what
you're
saying.
That's what they tell us here.
ISL had different rules.
This sort of morphed into a different thing.
That's why I'm saying you can take away the Hall of Fame and you still have the reason to play as a team. But if you take away the championships, it's like, well, what are we doing?
I don't understand
what's the
how
goal?
That. I don't. I think that's an imperfect analogy.
Well,
let's leave it at that. We don't need to branch this off into a different argument.
Okay.
I think that argument right there is imperfect analogy.
Because you don't have an answer for it.
No, because I'm telling you, I think people play sports for other reasons than to just win a championship at the end.
I'm telling you that in the pros and in pretty much every level, there is some end of
but that's
season
not
that,
the,
that tells you but this team was the best.
But you're saying that's the be-all, end-all as to why people play, and I don't think that's the case. That's all.
Well, I think in the NFL, and I would argue in most pro sports, the end-all, be-all is to win that championship every year.
Yeah, but that's I don't think that's why people play.
That's why you're working together as a team is to win a championship. Not so, hey, let's make John Hanna a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, these other leagues you're talking about.
I'm not saying, I don't even want to talk about that part of it anymore because I think it's so imperfect. But I'm
sorry, but you know.
No, well, I think you're making a blanket statement that's not true. So we philosophically disagree about your blanket statement. Well,
it's an arguable
I don't,
ball.
It's an arguable.
I don't
the
think
the reason
that,
why they play is to win a championship.
Yeah, and I think if you asked 800 NFL players if that's the reason why they play, you'd get at least half that say no.
Wow.
But that's beside the
really?
Point.
Really? I don't want them on my team.
I think that's beside the point.
I don't want those guys on my team.
Well, he might be right there. I think a lot of them, at this point, a lot of them play for the paycheck.
Oh,
that's
sure.
all they
yeah.
play for. A lot of them.
I don't think people
there are some
start
of them
playing so they can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but don't
let's
we always
put it that way. I don't think that's the goal when you start playing sports is I'm going to play Little League Baseball because one day I want to win the World Series. I don't think that's why people play.
No, we're talking about
that.
We're not
talking
about
that,
the pros.
But you're establishing the idea of playing sports is to win a that championship.
I don't think that's the idea of winning pro sports.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the idea. I think people play sports.
And don't we make fun of the guys that say that I just play for the paycheck?
Oh, I didn't say they just.
Don't
wait a
we
minute.
Look down on those guys?
But don't take. Eric made a great point about how much they enjoy playing. They like playing the game. It's fun.
But that
and they play. I mean, I just think that you're making a blanket statement that the only reason why they play is to win a Super Bowl. I don't think that's accurate.
I think that's the goal.
Okay. Well, these other poor people,
in,
I guess, that miss the point by just wanting to compete
year
and
in.
Be the best they can be. I guess those people really. They messed up and they have it all wrong.
Year in, year out, when you start every NFL football season, the goal is to win a championship. It is.
That's the team's goal.
And it should be the goal of every player on the team. And we look down on those guys that.
That's fine. And how do you do that? By being the best you can be.
Okay, but that's a separate thing. But I think that.
Now it's a separate
I think
thing.
That,
because, you know.
I think that you can take away the Hall of Fame and still have the NFL, but you can't take away those championships.
Well, in my opinion, you could, but that's beside the point.
Really?
Yeah.
You could take
you could do anything you wanted in your little fantasy world.
He really
world.
Is a union guy. I swear to God, you got a union mentality.
I hate unions.
Everybody
and you know
wants,
that.
You know, let's give everybody a trophy. You know?
Everybody gets a trophy. I want to take away championships. He says everybody gets a trophy.
That's what you're
saying. How do those two things equate?
You don't care about championships.
Well, no, I care about winning. That's all. You don't have to have a championship.
What does that mean?
I can play against you and beat you without winning a championship. What's wrong with that? I want to compete against you.
Yeah.
I want my team to beat their team. I don't care what happens at the end of it. If in your little hypothetical fantasy land where we're taking away Hall of Fames.
Why keep score?
Because the competition.
Right. And to see who wins.
Why does seeing who wins have to result in a Super Bowl? Why wouldn't anybody want to see who wins?
Because we want to see who's the best.
Now, can't you just accept the fact that that's a very flawed argument?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Then that's why I said let's move on, because we philosophically disagree.
Now, I think overall, I still see the point of...
I don't know why a sport can't exist without a holy grail at the end of it. I think competition stands for itself.
Then why...
You don't.
Then why
so we philosophically disagree.
Then why do we make such a big deal about this whole BCS playoff? You know, and we have to have a playoff. We have to determine it on the field. Why is that such a big deal if you're right?
I'm not saying that not having a Super Bowl would be better than having one. Don't put words in my mouth. Of course it's better to have a Super Bowl.
You got
to
have a championship.
But, well, college football survived for over 100 years without one. You just defeated your own point.
No, but they went to the whole point of, you know, they have to name a national champion. And every year, if they don't do it right, everybody's up in arms.
No, but they
so
do
obviously
it. But
it's
they
important.
Did it without a championship is my point.
Obviously, it's
and there's
important.
Nothing wrong with the game itself. Is it better with one? Of course it is. You want a Super Bowl so you can have the championship decided at the end. But what I'm saying is, the sport would not cease to exist without one. That's your premise. You could not play football unless you had a Super Bowl. That's the only part of it that I disagree with. Not that it's better to have a Super Bowl, or that should be the goal of the teams to win a Super Bowl. Of course that should be.
Yeah, you gotta end each season with finding out who is the best team in pro sports. Whether you call it a Super Bowl or whatever, you have to have some mechanism to find out who's the champ. You just do. And you can't take that away from it, or it diminishes the sport. But I think you can take away the Hall of Fame, and NFL would still be a great sport. So that's why I'm weighing in on the side of, you know, winning that Super Bowl. But I
don't really understand how one of those equates to the other. I mean, I understand your point on you think that a Super Bowl would be better. That's fine. To me, I would want to be the best I could be. That would be my goal. If I happen to win a Super Bowl, that would be even better.
Well, I think
you, well, the best that would enhance the, that best would enhance could, my career.
The best
one,
the best you could be,
was a Hall of Famer.
The best you could be doesn't necessarily mean you'd be Hall of Fame quality. You could be good enough to be in the NFL. Be the best you can be.
I would want to be the best.
Oh, that's fine.
If I was the best, I'd be a Hall of Famer. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, obviously. If you're the best football player, you're going to go in the Hall of Fame.
But if you're the best you can be,
that's what I would want. The best you can be, because some people's ceiling.
Everybody wants to be the best. I don't know anybody who doesn't want to be the best at anything that they do.
I mean, I feel like I'm arguing with Fred now. Semantics, okay? The best, I am the best I can be. Now, obviously, that wasn't, you know, worthy of even playing at a high level of high school football. The best of the best. I would want to be better than everybody else that ever played. That's what my goal would be. Not the best I could be, the best there was. That's what I would...
Okay.
If I was going to play pro football, my goal would be the best there was.
Okay. And I guess my point is, most people can't be the best there ever was.
No, but this is a hypothetical. So, what you would rather have? Win a Super Bowl or be the best you could be the best there ever was? I would rather be the best there ever was. And that's fine. I mean, look, a lot of people would disagree with that. That's fine.
Tough call.
I guess the argument would be, like the hypothetical would be, you know, someone like Phil Sims. Would you rather be Phil Sims or Dan Marino? I'd rather be Dan Marino. I'd rather be Jim Kelly. A lot of people, I'm sure, would rather be Phil Sims. Be a very, very good quarterback, not a Hall of Fame quarterback, but a very good one, and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think it's a great debate.
I think I would. I think I'd rather be Phil Sims.
But you can't say David Tyree.
Yeah,
right.
So that's a little unfair.
That's not fair.
You know, because now you're talking about a Jag who was along for the ride and did nothing.
No.
You know,
Sims is a good example.
That's, one ridiculous
that is a good one.
Yeah, would you rather be Phil Sims or Dan Marino?
Phil Sims.
You would rather be Sims. And there's nothing wrong. I'm not arguing with either one of you on this one. Because this is, to me, as TG said, there's no wrong answer. It's just kind of perception. You know, I would rather be Lawrence Taylor. Well, Lawrence Taylor won a Super Bowl, so that's another imperfect one. But, you know, Dick Butkus, I guess. I'd rather be Dick Butkus than Teddy Bruschi.
Would you rather be – yeah. Is it fair to say, would you rather be Brad Johnson or Dan Marino?
No. See, that one's not fair because Brad Johnson's a stiff.
Right. Yeah. Phil Sims is a better example for that.
And a stiff in, you know, general terms.
Right.
I was surprised to hear Trent Dilfer.
Yeah,
that's because he already has a ring,
and he
wants to be better.
He wanted to be good.
Yeah,
so it's interesting. You know, we got off track with our with the other thing, but I think it's a really interesting look because I think you're right, Fred. I think at first blush, when you hear about LT, you're like, well, you know, that sums up LT in a nutshell right there. Selfish guy, didn't really care about winning. He only cared about himself.
But which might not be inaccurate.
The argument might not necessarily negate that original premise, but I think his point was, you know, we're individuals. We're drafted as individuals, and when the team takes us, it's our job to do everything we can to make sure that we uphold our end of the bargain and make sure that the team gets what they drafted. I think I'm paraphrasing. I don't know exactly the words that he used. I don't have it in front of me, but when you listen to him sort of explain it a little bit, basically what he was saying was the San Diego Chargers took me with the fifth pick in the draft, and it was my job to make sure that they didn't regret that, and I did everything I could to make sure they didn't regret that by being as good as I could possibly be. And I think that he was saying I would rather have that than a Super Bowl and not be as good as I could have been, or not been, you know, worthy of that fifth pick.
Anybody who's won a championship, though, tells you how wonderful a feeling it is.
Right.
I'm sure it is.
And I just wonder, like, the guy that was on those teams, Tomlinson's team, who, you know, played hard, played to the best of their ability, came up short as a team as far as winning a Super Bowl, never would have a shot for the Hall of Fame, how he feels when he hears LaDainian say, oh, no, I'd much rather have the Hall of Fame.
And he wonders whether or not maybe if he had been putting out a little bit more, maybe we would have won a title or something. You know?
Well, I don't think there was anything else to put out. Yeah.
I think that's what LT is saying is I did everything I could to be the best I could possibly be. And I would rather that than say,
well, but there are some people,
I won a Super Bowl.
There are some people who are going to look at that playoff game here.
Right? We could argue with that.
When Rivers was on one leg and LT, after one play, went to the sideline.
Assuming he did put out.
No, I know, but there are people who are going to look at that.
Listen, my problem with LT that day was the fact that he sat on the bench with the coat and the helmet on.
And didn't cheer his team on.
Didn't care about what was going on in the field, ostensibly. Not the fact that he couldn't play, because I have no doubt he couldn't play. Phillip Rivers couldn't have played halfback that day without an ACL. He could play quarterback, and I'm sure, conversely, LT could have gone out and played quarterback with his injury. But he went out there and tried. He couldn't move. We saw it. He couldn't run. Yeah. You know, so I have I'm not saying that he didn't put out to the best of his ability that day. I have a problem with
his attitude.
His attitude that day, which I think, spoke, spoke volumes with.
If I can't play, I don't care.
And that's where I would say, to Eric and Fred's point, Kasim Osgood.
Like what I would do.
As
you would sit there and pout.
A Kasim Osgood special teamer might look at that and say,
yeah.
So if it's not about him, he doesn't really care.
Right.
That's what I would say, is that really the guy I want on my team? That's where I think LT deserves the criticism that he's gotten, over the years.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, throws a wrench into it. He goes, what would you rather be, Super Bowl MVP or in the Hall of Fame? That's a little different. Well, I don't think it matters.
Again, like Super Bowl MVP, like Desmond Howard?
Yeah.
I'd rather be in the Hall of Fame. If I'm Super Bowl MVP Tom Brady, that's what I'd rather be.
Right.
What if, I know it doesn't happen very often, hardly ever, but what if you're the MVP on the losing Super Bowl team? I'd rather be in the Hall of Fame in that case.
Yep.
Yeah.
Has it ever happened?
I think
Excuse me there.
I think it happened, if I'm not mistaken, in
70s?
Super Bowl V, maybe? Yeah, with Dallas and... I want to say Dallas and Baltimore. Baltimore won, but a guy from Dallas, Chuck Howley, I want to say, was the MVP. Look that up, will you, Flash?
Ooh.
Serious look on his face. Not red today, Eric. He's not red.
Ping Pong writes in. He says, Dear men of PFW, have you seen the new movie, That's My Boy? Well, in it, there's a scene where Rex Ryan plays a role as a huge Patriots fan. I laughed uncontrollably as he praised Tom Brady and referred to Coach Bill as the genius. If you haven't seen it yet, here's a link, and he sends us a link. Anyway, on to football. Do you think Devin McCourty will return to his rookie season form? If so, what impact will this have on the secondary? Thanks a lot, guys, and keep up the great work. And P.S. Eric, fight me. I'm glad that's my boy is not doing well at the box office. Because,
you're glad because of Rex Ryan?
Yeah. What are they thinking, putting him in a movie, So
it's a colossally
comedic value. It's
a colossally stupid idea
for
a movie. I mean,
so that's Devin McCourty. I think we're pretty much unanimous that we don't think he'll be as bad as last year, but
somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between. And you know what? If that does happen, that will help the defense immensely.
Absolutely. Of course,
even
it will.
Somewhere in between will help the defense immensely. So that's what we're hoping for. Obviously, we'd love him to return to his first year form, but I think that might be asking
I'm really
a little
concerned.
Bit much.
Just put me in that camp. Really concerned about that situation.
By the way, Paul, good work on
Chuck Howley.
Super Bowl V, Chuck Howley.
Good work. Paul.
All right, let's food's here, so let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got the Ace Ticket Hotline and more of your emails.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
In
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America N.A. Member of FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, we're talking about the whole Hall of Fame versus getting a Super Bowl ring debate that's going on in the media world today and yesterday.
The second greatest debate.
London. Do you think that there should be a permanent team in London? And do you also think that the Patriots should have two, or should have a road game there every year? How would you
feel definitely about that? For the second one.
Okay.
But I think if you ask anyone who lives in the UK, the overwhelming majority says they don't want a permanent team there. So I think Robert's kind of going against the grain.
Yeah,
in some ways.
At least the people we talk to, right?
And we talk to most of them.
Yeah.
Oh, the people in London?
People in London, yeah.
Now, what do you think, Freddie? You weighing in? Should there be a team permanently? I suppose you'd have to have at least two in Europe.
Yeah, that's
the hard to have one.
It's a terrible disadvantage for that team, I think.
I mean, they would have to make, like, three-game road trips to the U.S.
They'd have to stay in the U.S. for a while.
Yeah.
I just think it's really hard for that team, you know?
If you went international, wouldn't you want to go, like, Mexico City, then Toronto, and then maybe hop across the pond? Because, you know, Mexico City, you'd still get the fan base.
Right.
And it'd only be another, what, hour flight from going to, like, Arizona?
Yeah, I think that makes more sense. Although, Mexico City, would you really want to be based there? Oh, my God. What a pit.
Here we go, Fred.
What? Insulting everybody.
See if you can alienate a fan base.
Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, I remember that preseason game where they told you not to go out of your hotel. So
that's right. You actually got to go to a game.
Actually, I was sick. I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go?
No.
Drank the water, didn't you?
You went?
Maury went, right?
I didn't go.
Yeah.
I wasn't here then.
That's right. When was that?
98, I want to say. 97, 98? Maybe?
Yeah.
It was before I was here.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Sean is in Salt Lake. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
I wanted to touch on your guys' argument about championships.
Okay.
I can't remember which one of you guys were saying that not everywhere has a championship.
That was Paul.
Yeah, it was a different argument.
Everywhere does, because even in high school, you don't just play to play. You play to go state.
Nah, see, that's not true. But anyway,
well,
I would say the vast majority of high schools in Massachusetts don't play to go to the state championship because they know they have no chance.
So they don't ever try?
I didn't say that. This is like arguing with Fred. I didn't say you didn't try to win. That's why you play, to try to beat the team you're playing. That's my point in a nutshell that you just made for me.
Well, I disagree, but the next one would be the LT. I think players like LT, there's more of them that never make it to win a championship because it's all about them.
I don't understand what that means.
So you're saying that because of LT's attitude, he actually hurt the Chargers?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you could be right. I don't know.
I mean, because it's always about them. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. Not what's best for the team.
I mean, certainly, me first people, we've been taught hurt the team effort. There's no doubt about it. The question is he a me first guy? You know, here in New England, we like to say that because of, you know, that display he had in the playoffs. But, you know, so is that it, Sean?
But to the reason I was calling, I've heard you guys.
What was the reason?
Today, Junior!
About the offensive line.
Yep.
What is it that you guys are so worried about? Because going into this year.
Well,
I'm not worried.
On this show, we're not worried.
Brian Lowe's not here today. Yeah. He's the guy who's worried
Brian
about
Lowe
the offensive
was worried.
Line.
He's not here. But we're not. What we're saying is we don't understand all this, you know, angst that's going on about the Patriots offensive line, because in order for all the bad things to happen, it has to be a lot of bad things have to happen for us to be worried.
Because as far as the offensive line, I could be completely wrong. As it sits right now, I think we could have one of the best offensive lines in the league this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure, maybe, you know, but certainly a very solid above average line at the least. Absolutely.
And last question with who we have. Do you think we'll be doing more of a 4-3 over a 3-4 this year?
No, I have no idea. I don't.
You're going to see.
You say no.
No, I say no because you can't say that they're going to play one thing or the other. They're going to switch like they did last year, like they did the year before, game to game, drive to drive sometimes. They're going to switch formations and personnel. You can't say that this team is one thing or another anymore.
All right, and here's a question I don't know the answer to. Did they ever change technique? In other words, the two-gap responsibility did they change that last year, and is that what we should focus on more than three or four, where they line up?
Where they have more of an attacking style and less of a read and react?
Right.
I thought I saw some of the attacking style in the preseason last year. I think that Tampa game in particular gave me some hope. And then after that, we didn't really see that anymore. So I would like to see them attack more. I don't think that's going to happen, because I think, as Bill's been asked that 4-3-3-4 question a million times, and he says all the time, well, it's really more about the technique, like you said, Fred,
right,
than it is about who lines up where. And I don't see him changing his philosophy on the technique. So
the reason I was asking that is because I remember at the end of the year, they were saying if we were going to go back to a 3-4 most of the time, that it wouldn't work for Andre Carter. And I know with Jones, wouldn't he fit better in a 4-3?
I have no idea.
We don't know. We haven't seen him in uniform yet.
Yeah. All we know is what, you know, the scouting reports and what he did in college at Syracuse.
And what he did in college means absolutely nothing.
I mean, you're really going to judge what he did at Syracuse and say, oh, this is what he's going to do
really,
for the
Patriots? Yeah, we really need to see these guys in pads, in training camp, before we can make any of these predictions.
I think what they
forecasts.
See in Jones is he's got the length.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Okay, he's done with us. I think what they see in Jones is
you let him talk for 20 minutes.
You know, he's got the length, he's got the size. They think he has a frame that he can get a little bigger. He's got the quickness. He's athletic. You know, we'll figure out what to do with him when he gets here.
Yeah,
you know,
and he's right. Andre Carter specifically played some 3-4 and didn't like it. Didn't like the scheme. Didn't like the role that he had to play. But I don't know enough about what Washington was doing to say they two-gap or they asked him to drop in coverage a tremendous amount or what they actually specifically made Andre Carter do in their 3-4. Now, Bill might say, listen, I know exactly how he'd answer it. He'd answer it the way Eric already did and say, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all about, you know, how we're, you know, our techniques and our what we're doing. He might ask Andre Carter to be essentially in the 3-4 instead of the 4-3, but he might be doing the same exact thing he did last year when he was playing in a 4-3.
Right.
That could be the technique. That could be the scheme. I don't know exactly what Bill's going to do. You guys are right. To pigeonhole Bill into anything at this point is foolish because he's always going to show you that he's willing to adapt. He's willing to be multiple. He wants to be versatile. And I think the thing that's really exciting about this particular set of defensive players that they've brought in is I think they're going to be able to mix and match with these guys without changing personnel up front. I think they can play different schemes with the same they might come out first two series of a game and play strict 3-4, 2-gap, and then all of a sudden you could see the same front seven players, and they could be playing 4-3, up the field attacking kind of a style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what Bill's going to do. I do think the 2-gap principles will remain because I think that's what he really holds near and dear to his heart. But whether it's 4-3, 3-4, sub packages, whatever they happen to be in, I don't think it really matters as much as to how they play. And I think Bill will continue to play in that kind of 2-gap way.
And don't get too hung up on what you see in August.
Oh,
because
I learned that lesson last year.
Yeah. When you try to say, oh, they did this all through preseason, that's what they're going to do, forget it.
Should fans be that worried about whether they're going to play 3-4, 4-3?
No.
You know?
Bill says no. Bill yells at us every year when we sort of get preoccupied with it, and he says it doesn't matter.
I mean, we kind of want to know just, you know, to predict what the personnel will
just
be.
So we can put our roster and depth chart together.
Who's going to play and who's going to get the most reps? Because, you know, if all of a sudden they go out of a 4-3 into a 4-3,
right,
maybe somebody gets more opportunity than, you know, for that reason, I guess. But, boy, there really seems to be a lot of hand-wringing. Are they in a 3-4 or 4-3?
They're just worried about who's in the defensive back.
You just said, are they in? And I think that's I think you're absolutely right. There are times they're on the field and you don't know for sure.
Right.
They're lined up.
Right.
And you don't know. Well, is Mark Anderson an end right now or outside mm-hmm. linebacker?
And that's kind of the point.
You know, Rob Ninkovich, is he up on the line as an outside guy or as a defensive end? Who knows?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Because this is part of my whole thing about the evaluation of, you know, these you don't know what the assignments are.
I mean,
you don't know what they're supposed to be doing. You know, some guy could come barreling off the edge and beat his guy off the edge. I watched some of this game last night, by the way. It was unbelievable.
How do they show a defensive play in a 38-36 softball game?
There was the USA Futures against Team USA in slow pitch softball last night.
Who are the Futures?
It was unbelievable.
Who are the Futures supposed to be?
I don't know.
Future stars?
Future USA.
Team
USA
guys, I thought
the
whole idea of slow pitch softball was you play it when you're over 50. So how
these guys were old. These guys were old. There weren't a lot of young. There weren't a lot of guys
already
that were
over 40. Their futures. There
weren't a lot of guys that were in shape. Let's put it that way.
You take a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who they've been always known as a 3-4 team with strong linebacker play. But even they, I mean, when they do their zone blitz thing and a lineman is dropping back into coverage, and what do you call that? I mean, you know,
and you don't know exactly.
Yeah, what do you call that?
But my point is, like, even when you watch it and you see them do that, I mean, we're not football coaches. You know, Mr. Football, Andy's not here today, so, you know, he can always break it down for us, you know, scraping to see and whatnot.
Right.
But when you don't know exactly what they're supposed to be doing on a given play, I mean, you can see a guy physically, well, he missed a tackle there. The guy, he was right there, he could have tackled him, and he missed him, or whatever. But, you know, you could see a guy come hard off the edge, and then all of a sudden, you know, a play happens. And then you could say, well, yeah, he looked like he did a good job, but he may have supposed to have been setting the edge there. He shouldn't have been coming hard after the quarterback on that play. You know, so you never know exactly what this
freelance.
You know, yeah, you
when
look and you say, "Wow, he beat the tackle like a drum off the snap."
Right.
Well, his job was supposed to be occupy the tackle off the snap and set the edge in the run and make sure you turned it back. So you never really know.
It's the famous exchange.
And that's a very like, you know, simplistic way of looking
at
it.
They can line up the same way, especially this team. They can line up the same way 100 times and not run the same
defense. Well, and that's the whole point. They always want to disguise what they're doing. You know, it's the famous exchange with Lawrence Taylor and Parcells when Taylor ended up sacking the quarterback and comes to the, you know, the sideline, and Parcells says, "That's not the play we called," you know, and Lawrence says, "Well, we should put it in the playbook then," or, you know, something to that effect.
You're right.
You
know? Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Freddy Fresh Balls. What's going on?
I got him.
What's up, guys? I want to let you know I purchased an iPad, and the first thing I purchased for an app was
Fresh Balls.
Patriots Football Daily.
Good guess, Eric. No, it's Football Daily. Correct. Right?
Thank you.
That was Paul who made that guess.
Thank
you. Well, you guys talk about it so much, and
I hate you.
It's a great app. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're dead to me after
Wait
that.
Wait till once the games start, right. Christian. There's a special game day module that you can use while you're watching, and it has all the live stats. It has the in-game blog. Plus, if you're not around the TV, or even if you are, you're going to get the live 98.5 broadcast as well.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. And as far as the whole Hall of Fame championship thing, I'd want to be a Hall of Famer.
You'd want to be a Hall of Famer. Yep.
I think Shannon Sharpe said it best. 50,000 some odd guys have Super Bowl rings and only 400 guys have the yellow jacket. I'll take the yellow jacket.
Okay,
and that's a strong reason for the Hall of Fame crowd that I've heard.
Yep.
A lot of people have said what Shannon Sharpe said.
Sure,
and that's why Fred just wants to get rid of the Hall of Fame, so you only have a Super Bowl to play for.
I think the argument might be a little different.
I don't want to get rid of the Hall of Fame. I want to make it more exclusive. I think there's too many guys in there.
No, I was talking about your hypothetical that you and I argued about for 10 minutes.
But as far as my feelings about the Hall of Fame, I think too many guys get in.
But even more so, if they did that, then I'd rather be a Hall of Famer.
No, I think you're right.
That would enhance my side.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of whether or not my view would change if this were an individual sport we were talking about, tennis or golf. Would you rather be a Hall of Fame tennis or golfer and never have won a major or something
that? See,
but that's a little different because you might not be a Hall of Famer if you don't win a major.
It's impossible to be a Hall of Famer in an individual sport and never have won anything.
Do you know where the Tennis Hall of Fame is?
Newport.
It's in Newport. It's like a little shack. It's tiny.
It's not part of a mansion?
It's tiny. It's
close to a mansion.
It doesn't mean that
much. It's a pool house in front of a mansion.
Winning Wimbledon or winning the Masters is much bigger than being in the Hall of Fame in those sports. So it's not really
fair. I mean, I know what Eric's point is, too, but it's impossible. You couldn't be a Hall of Famer in golf or tennis without having won major tournaments.
That's because it is all about winning.
That's how you get in golf specifically. Right. There's a cutoff.
That's true.
What if – I know it's hypothetical and – we have nothing else to talk about anyway, but
we have a lot to talk about with the weight room. We're talking.
If you came in, you know, top five in every tournament you ever played in, would that qualify you as a Hall of Famer if you never won?
In an individual sport?
Yeah.
No.
Not in golf. I don't know enough about tennis.
Not in tennis either.
What about a guy who's Olympian?
Nope. What?
And an Olympian and wins world championship whenever they have Olympic off years, but then gets to the Olympics and every single time gets beat by someone, doesn't get that gold medal.
Well, I was like Dan Jansen for a long time until he finally won his.
It's like Adam Nelson. He's a shot putter. Of course, you know, if I can go with what I'm comfortable with. He went to three Olympics, never won a gold medal, won two
world
championships.
Well, if you won world championships, you won championships, you know?
Yeah, so. It's not just, I mean, for those sports, it's not just about the Olympics themselves.
Did you hear about that Brian Clay guy? He was supposed to be the U.S. decathlete, and he was sponsored by BMW and all these, and he didn't make it. Didn't even make the cut.
Some kid did set the world record, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that.
Unbelievable.
I read that story, yeah.
What else, Christian?
In the NFL Top 100, I told you about the list and how I hated it.
Yeah.
We all do.
It's just like you said, that whole thing. They showed last night that basically they give – certain number of players a piece of paper and they tell them to write down the top 20 players. So, like you said, Monte Leach is going to make
Right.
You know,
how does he get there?
I mean, it's,
he put himself in the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah. You know, when,
then he
when
paid the other guys.
Brady, right.
Yeah, exactly. And when they got to Brady, you know, they lead off, they asked like three defensive players, I think, you know, who's the number one player in the NFL today? And they go, oh, it's going to be Tom Brady. Oh, it'll be Tom Brady.
I just, Christian, I'm just amazed by all these people who care so damn much about where Brady ends up in the list. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it's a care list. I mean, you know, like everybody else, I just want to win. And you know, it's nothing but fodder for the offseason.
That's all.
You know, and to talk. And
would you rather be number four on the 100 list or win three Super Bowls?
And then Christian brings it up, too. You just opened the door. I'd rather win. And this is where I think we'd all be on the same page. In terms of the organization, if you're a fan of the Patriots, I'd rather have the Super Bowl titles than have no guys go into the Hall of Fame than 10 Hall of Famers and no Super Bowls.
Right.
As a fan, that's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah,
as a fan. And it's funny how we all think about LT the same way. Paul, you mentioned it. The first thing that popped into my head when he said they wanted to be in the Hall of Fame, I thought of the championship game and him sitting there.
The very first thing that popped into my head.
That was the first image.
And I like LT probably more than most around here. I thought he was classless. After the game in San Diego in 06, but I also thought we were a little classless.
The whole dance.
He acted like a petulant little child, and that was just ridiculous. There's always a telltale sign.
Yeah.
Whenever you hear a guy tell you how classy he is, generally that guy doesn't have a lot of class.
Right.
Because classy people don't have to tell you how
That's part of being classy, is not.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't say, I'm a gentleman. You don't have to tell everybody you're a gentleman. They know you're a gentleman.
Right. By your actions.
You know?
All right, Christian, you're always a gentleman.
Right.
Okay.
I love Christian, even though he confused me with Eric.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. How's the Twitter sphere going, Pepe?
Pretty good. Just, you know, putting out what you guys are asking. A lot of people saying, surprisingly, Patriots fans saying they wouldn't put Brady at number one on the list, put him at two behind Rodgers.
I would put Calvin Johnson.
That's a little Fred-like right there. No. Tough schedule. 15-1.
Right.
And then every single person that's tweeted in has said they would rather win a Super Bowl.
Really?
Every single person.
And I have no problem with that. I don't. Even though I said the other side,
it's a great argument.
There's nothing wrong with saying I would accept not being great to win a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that mentality.
Yeah. As fans, like Paul said, absolutely, you want your team to win. As wonderful as I felt the day that Andre Tippett got into the Hall of Fame, I just felt so good that day. It doesn't compare to the feeling I got in 2001 when they won the Super Bowl and the lasting feeling that had. You know,
but isn't it? I mean, and again, it's so imperfect because you have to change the caliber of player. But like, look at my buddy Drew, right? He won the Super Bowl. He was on that team, but obviously, it's so much different. You know, which Super Bowl do you think he looks back at better?
Right.
The one he lost as the starting quarterback or the one he won as the backup?
Probably the one he lost.
You know, and that doesn't make him a bad guy.
Right.
I'm saying,
competitive nature of the person you want.
Because you have to take to, you know, everybody would like both. Everybody would like to say, I want to be instrumental in my team winning a Super Bowl. But if I have to choose of being an instrumental player on a team and not winning, and being a jag on a team that does win, and that's kind of what you're arguing, because if you're instrumental in both, you're probably great. There aren't too many David Tyrees out there who are just, you know, nondescript players who happen to make a play that was probably the single play most responsible for them winning.
Right.
You know, that doesn't happen very often.
Nope.
You know, I think that was TG's analogy earlier in the show with David
Tyree.
Who was
the cornerback from Dallas who ended up going to the Raiders.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown. He's another. And Desmond Howard.
But even then, I wouldn't even argue
Desmond
that
Howard's won.
I mean, he won the MVP, I think, of that Super Bowl. But I would argue that they would have won that game by
probably
as many points without him.
Right.
You know, it's hard to make the argument that if David Tyree doesn't make that catch, the Giants still win.
Right.
Game's over. Yeah. Game is literally over.
Well, no.
Well, yeah, they had one more play, I think. But still, I know what you mean.
Fred's like, no, they would have had a punt.
Inarguable.
Would have been fourth down. They would have had a punt.
Alex writes in, LT Marino in economics. Classical economics says that when doing the best for yourself, you're doing the best for everyone. Neo-economics says that sometimes doing the best for yourself, you'll do the best for everybody, and sometimes that's not the case. Two good examples are LT doing the best for himself in getting a ring and Marino getting a big fat zero trying to do the best for his team. I can't stand economics anymore. It's taking me 7 bloody years to graduate, so I will not bother with furthermores, but I will say this.
Don't blame it on economics.
I got my grade last Tuesday, a great 7.6 out of 10, and as soon as I can get an international credit card, lunch is on me, boys. And then
I'll save my rip job. Then.
And then I'll call Fred so he can learn how to do a Brazilian accent.
All right.
All right. So that's great.
Was that your boy Alexandre?
Yes.
Okay. Kevin, you saving that?
Did that on purpose. Don't get upset.
He shakes his head. No. Don't shake your head at me.
Matt from San Diego State University says that listening to Brian Lowe feels pretty similar to being a homeless guy sleeping under an overpass in Miami. Just kind of makes you wish for someone would try to chew your face off rather than listen to him.
Hot dogs and sausages.
We've been talking a lot about the Brian Lowe phenomenon also when we're not on the show.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Brian Lowe is, to me, one of the just most regular, normal guys that you'll run across in life.
Very nice. Right?
I can't believe the visceral reaction that Brian Lowe has brought to our shows. Some positive, mostly negative.
Right.
He just, to me, is, you know, and I don't want to say it in a disrespectful way, but he's kind of nondescript. Yeah. He's kind of just like a regular guy.
I heard he's retarded or something.
Strippers has some breaking
That's
news.
That's two good ones for you in the last 2 days.
Strippers has some breaking news.
What do you got, Strippers?
Corwin Brown enters guilty but mentally ill plea. Corwin Brown, who played the NFL for 8 seasons, also
no
has
stretch there.
As an NFL assistant coach, has pleaded guilty but mentally ill to confining and battering his wife last year. So we all know Corwin was a Patriot and also
Corwin had his issues.
Attempted to be a coach here, but so that's too bad. We hope that he does better, I guess.
Well, he was for a year.
Yeah.
He was a coach.
Yeah. I hope he gets over that and gets the proper treatment that he needs.
Some news on former Patriots, according to Ravens Insider, who should just be an NFL insider.
He should be Patriots Insider is what he should be.
Well, apparently former Patriot Markell Carter worked out for the Pittsburgh Steelers today.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, that makes sense. That kind of a, you know, edge guy,
right.
Athlete, Pittsburgh.
Probably make him into a star.
Yeah. Tyler from Georgia.
I don't see that happening.
Tyler from Georgia says, I think what makes the Hall of Fame for a Super Bowl argument so difficult is the scale of each accomplishment. To be a Hall of Famer, you need a career of great plays. But to get one ring, your team just needs one season. That in mind, I want to even the scale with two questions. The first, multiple victories. You are Teddy Bruschi. Would you rather be in the Hall of Fame or have your 3 rings? The Hall of Fame still represents a career full of greatness, but the multiple rings means you weren't a one-hit wonder team. And the second, 1 year of excellence, your Chad Ochocinco in 2011. Would you rather have been the old Chad on an 8-8 team or have Brady and Welker
perfect.
Complete that pass and get your ring in a season where you contributed very little?
That's a perfect, perfect one. And now, if you're Chad Ochocinco, that's exactly what I was talking about with Drew.
You're not winning one in Miami.
Because he had nothing to do with them winning the Super Bowl last year if they make that connection.
If they had one.
If Brady and Welker make that connection, that's a perfect, perfect one. Do you think he feels the same about that Super Bowl as he does about his career?
So let's tweet him there.
Chad, would you rather have a ring?
Tweet him out there.
At Ocho. So about that ring thing.
Last time we started tweeting about Chad, we got in trouble.
I'm kidding.
Juvenile says... No B-Lo, great show.
It's legit
show.
With him. He'd probably answer us.
Yeah, he might.
So.
What's that?
Juvenile says there's no B-Lo, so it's a great show.
Wow. See, I just can't.
No, you know what it is, Paul? It's the outsider thing.
That.
It's the if B-Lo were a regular member of the show, he would get his own following, people would like him, and the invective would die down.
Like Brian Morey, when he's on, you know, the rare times,
I can see
the reaction he gets.
Right. But people hated him when he was part of the show regularly, though. So he always had that going for him.
That's true.
Warren and
what do you got?
It just seems like a lot of people hate him. That's all.
No, it's just
really
he's
know
an
much
outsider.
About him, but
that's all it is. Trust me, I had that level when I first started too.
Oh boy,
had
yeah.
What do you got to say about that, Fred?
You still don't?
You kidding me?
Well, from a small segment of the population.
Oh. Warren in London.
The uneducated segment.
Warren in London says, hey guys, whoever's there, lots of stuff in the press today about Robert Kraft and how he thinks there could be a team in London in 10 years. Do you think this is just PR and he has to say, or do you think he honestly thinks there could be a team playing 8 games this side of the pond? I personally think they may take the risk, but don't think it will work out long term. There are too many issues that just means it will not work out. I, for one, am a Patriot for life. It will only go if we play in London. I would rather travel over and see my team play than see two teams I don't care about. Europeans in general don't change teams to follow stars like you guys over in America. No, it's interesting.
You think a lot of people do that in America?
I absolutely do. I think that we're more
because that's what Fred did.
We're more star. No, we're more star driven here.
No, but I don't think people like stars, but I don't think that they become fans of those teams because of the stars.
I think the young kids do.
I
think they do.
The younger generation might. I think you might be right there.
I think that the younger
generation
likes individual players more than we did when we were younger, because that's what they promote. Now.
Well, and it's also.
But I don't think you necessarily. I think you always keep your team that you like.
Well, but Paul, it's different now with free agency too. I think
that's true. That's a good point.
Because
Very
of free agency, people might say, "Well, I like this player. I don't necessarily care too much about what team he plays for, but I like him, so I'll follow him wherever he plays."
Yeah, and I do that a lot because I like it's not necessarily about stars. It's about guys I like. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
If it's a player that you know, like I wouldn't follow. Just
a Northeastern guy.
Just
you
because
would
he's,
him.
But just because he's LeBron, I wouldn't just say, well, I'm a Cleveland fan. Oh, now I'm a Miami fan because I,
no.
you know, and I don't know a lot of
oh,
people.
Oh, I know that, a lot of people who did
yeah,
that.
I don't
They're
know.
LeBron fans.
Oh, yeah.
Fan
absolutely.
Of the team. They're a fan
exactly.
of the player.
Well, yeah.
I know a lot of those.
Yeah.
I don't know
There's
a lot of people
lot
that
of
like
those.
Miami because LeBron's on them. They like LeBron.
Yeah. And whatever team he's on, that's who they'll root for.
Yeah, I'm with Matt. I don't think there's a lot of that. I mean, there's certainly some.
Well, I think there's more.
But I think
of that
there's more
America
people that just want LeBron
Europe.
To be great.
Yeah, I
mean,
think
you have your hometown team, but
in Europe,
you can
I think
have
it's
yeah.
more the club.
And I don't,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I don't doubt Warren's point that it's yeah. a little bit. You have the fierce
it's club
loyalty.
God family in
yeah,
Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no doubt that Warren's right about that.
To Warren's question about Roberts. You know, the strength of his feelings about that, I think he's telling the truth. I think he really believes economically for the league, they need to expand. And
he had a great quote in that story, too, saying, you know, there
Paul
were,
Perillo should get more money.
Close,
I saw
close.
That.
I didn't see that.
As a matter of fact, the Sky reporter, I think, repeated it and said, I agree. Fred, how did you say it?
What's that?
No, he was trying to get you to do an accent.
Yes. No, I was lost in thought about the whole World League that they try because in a perfect world, you'd have an American league, you'd have a European league, and then they would play for the world championship. But the players in Europe will never be as good as America's. They don't have the feeder system in college. You know, I'm not saying that there's better athletes in America. There might be. I mean, you can argue that. But you don't have the young people playing football in order to support the pro league in Europe. So you'll never. It would never, you know, you couldn't have that perfect world
yeah, not
of, a,
yet.
Of a whole league over there that, you know, play for a world championship.
It's not to the level of.
I don't think you ever will, Eric. I really don't. I don't think ever you'll have a feeder system in Europe of kids playing American football to support a pro league.
Did you think that about soccer?
You still don't
30 years
here.
Ago?
You don't have that here.
You have a pro league here.
You have a pro league here, but it is.
We do? Oh, never mind.
But
I'll go back to reading my emails.
You know, look at the number of Americans who are good enough to play in the real top league.
It's a lot.
It's like what,
higher.
A handful. It's like five guys.
It's a lot higher now than it was a generation ago, though.
It's five guys.
Which is a lot more than it was a generation ago, Fred.
Okay. Well.
Nobody a generation ago could play over there.
Yeah, that's probably
from
I don't know, from
the American feeder system.
Yeah, I don't
Nobody
know.
Could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things,
it started with the likes of, you know, Alexi Lalas and
Alexi Lalas wasn't good enough.
Yes, he was. He played in Italy
oh,
for a
barely.
Season. He was the first one,
he
though. That's what I'm saying.
Right. He had a cup of coffee over there.
Right. And it started with that group, and then now you have guys right. like Michael Bradley and Clint Dempsey,
right.
and Tim Howard,
Wayne,
who are great.
Right.
They're not just good over there. They're great
are
over
they
there.
Are they great?
Yes, they're great.
Great.
Clint Dempsey scored.
Rooney great?
He had a hat trick this year.
Clint Dempsey was like one of the leading goal scorers in the league.
Okay.
Tim Howard is the best, one of the best goaltenders in the league.
All right. Okay.
In the world.
In the world, yeah.
Okay. Well, it doesn't take much to be a goalie. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
I played it, so.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm going to bring
so anyways,
my point
is, do we want that Robert Kraft quote?
My point is, there's been a there's been a growth in this country in that sport that they hadn't seen in previous generations. In one generation, they've been able to do that. Right. So I'm saying don't rule out the possibility that if football grew in popularity in other countries, they would be able to create a feeder system that could develop professional leagues. I mean, same thing with baseball. Baseball in Japan and in the Latin American island countries down here has grown to such an extent that they've beaten American clubs in championships. Yes? No?
I don't know. Paul, I'm not,
you don't know?
I don't follow that.
I wasn't following that.
I don't follow international
Cuban
baseball.
And Dominican teams haven't beaten American teams in baseball?
Yeah, they have.
Right. That's my point.
Okay.
Japanese clubs are now bringing Japanese players to the major leagues.
Right.
But, so it's not
Sorry, I missed the beginning because you were talking about soccer. What's the point?
My point is that if football grows in American football grows in popularity overseas, in a generation or two, you could see enough talent in those countries to form their own professional leagues
and compete against the NFL.
Eventually, why not?
See, I agree with you then, Fred. And I don't think that we'll ever compete with the rest of the country in soccer, the rest of the world in soccer either.
Yeah,
I don't think it'll ever happen. Cuba,
we already do.
No, we go to the World Cup.
Yeah, but we don't really compete.
Did you not watch? You didn't watch the last World Cup, but they did.
Okay.
They competed very well in the last World Cup.
I'm talking about as a league, Eric. I mean, MLS is nowhere near Bundesliga or EPL or any of those.
No, but those leagues have been around for a lot longer.
Okay, but also those kids growing up in Europe, soccer is what they do. Here, it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey.
Right, yeah. But my point, I guess maybe I'm not explaining myself well enough.
In your defense, I wasn't really paying attention, so you absolutely could have explained yourself well enough.
All right.
And I just didn't hear it.
Okay, now that you're listening then, Paul, my point is, in the last generation or so, soccer in this country has gone from just sort of a nice little fringe sport to something where we're producing athletes who are good enough to compete at the highest levels.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay? No. Yeah, he sends a list of the top 10 goalies in the world, and he says, no Tim Howard on this list of top 10 goalkeepers.
Well, but that doesn't...
Don't interrupt me. I'm making a point.
While I agree with strippers, I don't think that necessarily enhances that point.
He plays in the EPL. He's one of the best goaltenders in the world. Anyway, my point was, in a generation, that's how soccer has gone in this country. We've gotten to the level where we're producing some of the best talented individuals, not necessarily the best teams to compete for World Cups.
I mean, we have the best talent. I can't argue with this because I don't know it to be false or not. I'll take your word for it. I don't know how good Clint Dempsey is compared
to... He's one of the best goal scorers in the English Premier League. Tim Howard is one of the best goaltenders in the English Premier League.
Well, then why is he not listed in the top 10?
I mean, just to
steal strippers' research, because, again,
I don't know where he's getting his list from.
I don't know.
So my point is, if football...
I said there, how many teams are in the EPL?
20.
And he's in the top 10?
He's not in the top 10.
Oh, he's not in the top 10.
He's one of the best
goaltenders. According to strippers.
I don't know where he's getting that information. It's
About.com.
That's in the world, that says. In the world.
Well, I thought that's what we're talking about. In the world. But you said he's one of the best in the world.
Yes, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the world.
If you play in the British Premier League, you're one of the best in the world. For Christ's sake.
But he's not listed in the top 10, according to whatever that poll is.
That poll disagrees with your
That's
soccer.
All I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know soccer. I'm not arguing with you.
He's number 20, according to Bleacher Report.
About John Howard, I don't know. If he walked by right now, I wouldn't know who he was.
Number 20 in the world is pretty good. There's a lot of soccer teams in the world.
But there's no way that he's the last ranked goalie in the EPL.
No. That's the world.
Oh, okay.
It's not just the EPL, I think. Right?
Correct, yes.
And who's listed this? Some About.com? This is like the NFL.com 100 list.
Right.
we're getting sidetracked from my point, Paul, which you weren't paying attention to earlier.
Guilty as charged. You talk about soccer, I'm going to take the segment off. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Fred disagrees that American football can take root in other countries to an extent that a professional league could be formed in another country.
Maybe not next year, but in a generation or two.
He's going to hit me.
I started this out by saying, in a perfect world, you'd have the NFL here, and you'd have a European league, and then you'd play for a world championship. So the real world championship, not the nominal one they call it now. You wouldn't have to travel across to play. It'd be like the NL and AL in baseball. except the AL, would the NL is over there right. and the AL's here. And then at the end, you play for the championship. But in order to do that, you have to have equal or better talent over in Europe. And I don't think that's
ever
going to happen. And I'm
saying 50, 75 years from now, that's not possible?
It's hard to say that it's not possible. I'm on Fred's side, but I understand. I mean, to get specific, to get literal, I think Eric's right. I mean, how can you say 100 years from now you can't, you know,
what
progress?
Mean, oh, yeah, well.
You can't progress to that point. I am with you.
Well, what
I don't,
did you think I meant? Next year?
No, I don't
see
it.
You said a generation.
Yeah, I don't see it
happening.
That's
25 years.
Okay, well, he said 100.
I don't see it in 25 years, but...
So we'll reconvene in 25 years.
Well, unfortunately, I'll still be here. And Fred, shut up, because you will too.
I mean, in 100 years, Americans could be going over there to play. There's that many football players where we could feed both leagues, and they just happen to be Americans.
We barely fill the talent.
Well, that play out there.
That's different. I'm talking about true.
That's what I'm talking about,
you know,
too.
Europeans,
yeah. right?
Or wherever part, right. you know, Asians, yeah. wherever part
you know,
of the,
where
you know, the world you want to talk
come
about.
From Eric, are all of a sudden is Eaton going to all of a sudden have, you know, a football team? No, they're not. You know, so where are these players coming from? You know?
They could choose to play the sport.
When? At what point in their lives are they going to choose to play American football?
That's what the NFL is trying to do now. They're trying to foster youth leagues across the globe.
I think you got to have, it's got to be
all right,
in
I have a sort of
that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
I have a big picture question. You know, with you guys, and we can disagree on this, but you know, without being upset about it, over there, you don't take
I'm
your ball.
Taking, I'm
don't
taking,
take your ball and go home.
I'm taking your role today, Paul. I'm arguing with Fred.
Yeah, but you don't have to get all pissed off about it.
That's what you do.
No, I just talk loudly all the time. I always
no, you
see,
get pissed off.
I appear as if I'm pissed off all the time. That's just the way I am. Anyway, do you think it's necessary?
You never have strong feelings about anything.
Some days I wish I didn't, but I can't fake this. Do you think it's important, Freddie and Eric, to be global if you're the NFL?
Well, I think...
How important... I shouldn't say is it important. Yeah. How important do you think it is for the long term? And when I say long term, we're talking, like Eric says, you know, 25, 50, 75 years. How important is that for the long term growth?
I think it's very important.
I think it's vital.
Not necessarily to have leagues there, but to have fans there. Because you look at even the EPL. The EPL is very smart. They're making inroads in mm-hmm. the United States in terms of viewership.
Absolutely.
And you can't just stay stagnant. You have to increase your base. And as Kraft said, you know, right now, last year in the Super Bowl, 180 people in America watched the game. You know, that's a lot
it
of people.
Seemed like a whole lot of people to me. 180?
180 million,
oh,
you know what I mean.
Oh.
You know, so there's like, what, 325 million total? A lot of those are kids under 8 years old, so you don't count them, you know, as being viewers. So you take those out of the equation. 180 million people is a good chunk of the American population. Where are you going to grow from there? You know, you can't say,
we're
happy with that, and it'll never get bigger.
No, I'm not saying that. Yeah. Well, I guess my question is what is so important about? I mean, why can't you be as big as you can be? And I'm like, is it worth the effort? Is I guess what I'm asking. You know, at what cost, and what are you hoping to get?
Well, that's the thing. If it's
globally,
if the costs outweigh the benefits, then you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I think they see that the potential markets that open up could be.
I mean,
open the floodgates financially.
If you're a player, or not necessarily a player playing today, but if you're the player association, you certainly want that growth because that's where
revenues,
bigger contracts
right.
are going to come down the road. You need to grow.
No, but at what cost is what I'm saying. It's great to just say in a vacuum. Well, if I can get 180 million Europeans to also be interested in the NFL, obviously that's. I mean, even someone like me who's simple-minded and lacks any. Business sense can see the benefit of that, but what I'm saying is to expand into Europe and create teams in Europe. Now you're talking about these travel things, and now you have players that they're going to have to go over to Europe to play. Is that long term in your best interest to do? And the NFL is not alone, by the way. The NBA has been trying to do this for a lot longer.
Well, and they're having a good job,
and they've done it.
It,
and they have done it.
Yeah,
and I just don't see. I don't see necessarily. I mean, I'm sure that there's all kinds of business stuff that you can show me that, well, here's our bottom line in 1990 before we started making these inroads with, you know, the Dream Team in 92 and all that, and here's where we've grown since, and look at all the extra revenue we've got from marketing and all this stuff. I understand the money part of it, and that's what drives everything, but to have teams actually over there, is that outweighing, is that cost outweighing the benefit?
I think the NFL has to, I don't know about teams, but the NFL has to worry about its international nature. Because if you look at the NBA, not only is it an international sport, they're bringing people in from all different countries that are actually contributing to the NBA. Baseball, same thing. You know, it's just used to be just Southern, you know, America, Central America. Now it's Japan. They're bringing people in from, you know, so that's expanding. NHL has been doing it for years, bringing in people from Europe. And obviously hockey is an international sport. You know, the NFL is not played in the Olympics for the sole reason that not enough countries, you know, play it. And they don't bring in people from out of the country to play because there's not enough good talent around the world.
Play Olympic football. It's not conducive. Tournament.
They could play 7-on-7, which is what they're talking about. But
7-on-7, like no contact?
7-on-7 football. No, it's just smaller teams.
Well, how could you play like 5 games in a 3-week period?
They could do it. They're talking about it, but they can't do it. You can't.
Just so you know, Eric and I just had a jaw dropping, eyebrow raising moment together.
You can't be an Olympic sport anyway. It's a moot point until a certain percentage of the country.
No, I know that.
Play.
I just don't think that football is conducive to an Olympic tournament.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I mean, you can play 5-6 baseball games, or you know, you can play tennis matches. I don't see how you could play football.
The
for
time
3 weeks.
Necessary to recover from a game.
Yeah. Even if you're playing 7-on-7, you're going to be killing each other for 3 weeks. I don't see how that's conducive to football. But
anyway. It's a more wide open game, and they're not allowed to hit below the knees or above the neck. Above the shoulders. So,
Eric and Paul just had another one of those moments.
But anyway, but there's a lot of reasons why the NFL's behind
the
eight ball
of Coke.
when it comes to getting international revenue and. They're behind the other sports and they're scrambling.
Yeah, I guess I recognize all the points that you're making, and the other sports are doing it. But I think the other, you know, football has an amazing advantage domestically over the other three sports in the style of game that it is, in the actual makeup. The once a week is just
pomp and circumstance.
You know, all of that is just so conducive. You have only 16 games, so you're able to nationally televise every game. 230? How many games are there? Whatever. Every single game is nationally televised on a network. The other sports can't do that. There's too many games. There's too many different things going on. You play 4 or 5 games a week. Football is just so geared here, and it's an amazing advantage they have over the other three sports. But domestically, I mean, internationally, those other sports have an advantage over football because, as you said, you can have Eastern Bloc players coming to the NHL and Asians and Europeans coming to the NBA. And obviously, Major League Baseball has almost always been an international game. You know, that's why I think your argument about Cuba and whoever beating the United States, well, it's not our game. Everybody plays baseball, and they have always competed with the Major League Baseball. Maybe the major leagues is the best league, but certainly it would be no upset should, you know, Team USA not beat, you know, a team from, of Latin Americans or of any, you know, Dominicans, whoever. I mean, these countries play a very, very high level of baseball.
And it starts with the youth leagues.
But you have nothing in football.
Right. And as we've seen in the Little League World Series, for example, the Americans don't win the Little League World Series every year.
But that's a good point, Eric. And When a sport becomes a way out for youth, that's when you see it grow and get talent.
Right.
You know, in America, basketball's a way out. Football's a way out. Baseball's a way out. In Latin America, baseball's a way out. But in Europe, will American football ever become a way out?
It could.
It's too hard.
I don't know.
It could. The emphasis, the NFL, I think, made a mistake. Well, about 20 years ago when they did the World League of American Football thing where they tried to have all those European teams at the professional level and try to get fans that way.
Right.
I think if they had started then with the concept they have now of trying to foster youth leagues, by now you would have had almost a generation of youth in Europe who grew up playing and watching, and they might not be good enough completely to play at this league, but you'd already have that base established for a good generation.
Yeah.
Now the next generation
is
so
hard, Eric, because you know what we wouldn't have youth Pop Warner in America unless there were dads who played football. you know, because they're the coaches and the referees and the administrators, and you got to have that. And who are the dads, who are the volunteers in Europe that would be able to do that and understand it and love it?
Well, you'd have to have, I mean, if the NFL is, but the NFL's doing that now. They're trying to create youth leagues all around.
Yeah, and that's great. And they're doing it in China,
too. So if they had started 20 years ago, they'd be 20 years ahead of the game right now.
Is it sustainable?
Why wouldn't it be? It is in all these other sports.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if you can plop down and...
Did you use that same argument when baseball first was introduced to Japan or Cuba?
But when was that?
Well, whenever it was. I don't know.
It was long before we were ever thought of.
But
it's not new. This is what I'm saying is baseball wasn't just ours. And we decided, baseball didn't decide to go global. Baseball was played everywhere.
It was organic.
That good word. Baseball has been played, especially if Japan in the Far East, you made the comment about the Little League World Series. That's not new. Go back to the 50s. They won something like 14 in a row. Chinese Taipei or one of those Far East.
Right. Taiwan.
Yeah. I mean, they won like a million in a row in like the 50s. And I mean, this is not new.
And I think
they've always played a high level of baseball.
Right? Didn't we bring baseball to?
Maybe it goes back that
far. I don't know.
I just think it's a physical thing. And yeah. I don't want to get in trouble here, but I do. I think.
Americans are bigger.
I'm stopping.
All right.
I'm just going to end up saying something stupid. I don't want to get in trouble.
You're very passionate about lacrosse. You've seen the growth of lacrosse.
Yes.
Over the last, 10, 15 years?
Yes.
It's really grown exponentially in that time.
Yes.
To the point where there are now professional leagues, are there not?
True.
So why is that any different than football?
They could do that in Europe. You could have niche leagues like Major League Lacrosse in Europe. You could definitely do that. They wouldn't be able to compete with the NFL.
No,
I think Fred's right. I think it's a losing proposition.
I mean,
they could play football.
You know,
they absolutely could play football.
Again, I didn't see like the effort where, you know, like the International Lacrosse Federation said, you know, we got to get lacrosse in America. It was more organic. You know, lacrosse is, believe it or not,
it's a team sport of Canada.
National
sport of Canada.
Sport of Canada is lacrosse. It's not hockey. You know, so they were always, and the private schools have played lacrosse for generations in America. It's been around for a long time. And I think it just caught on as baseball kind of waned in the spring. Kids were looking for an alternative, and more schools started to offer it. And kids said, hey, you know what? This is a good alternative to – you know, to baseball. You can run, you can hit, it's fast, you know. So I think it just kind of caught on.
You don't need to have ability.
I don't remember like this unified effort to let's make lacrosse popular. It just kind of happened, you know. I don't know.
And you don't think that's possible with football, American football?
It's too much involved in that sport. It's a really involved sport, which makes it great. That's what makes it so great. You know, it's.
Why does that make it so great?
I just think the complexity of the sport, you know, really, there's so many layers to it, you know, and I think that's one of the things that makes it great. And, you know,
you and I disagree.
What are you bothering me with over here?
Well, you don't think it's complex?
I think that's one of the things I like the least about the NFL.
I don't care about your numbers and performance indexes.
Well, not the complexity
Kevin
of it, but
sent
just
it to me to show to you
the whole Howard's number 5.
For God's sake. The guy is in the EPL.
I know,
that makes him one of the best players in the world.
But I'm proving your
He's
point.
He's a starter
but I'm
for an EPL team.
Oh, here we go.
Christ.
I'm just staying out of this. Jeez.
No, but I'm proving your point. It shows that he is. It shows that Strippers was wrong. I was trying to help you, not fight with you.
But he's pointing and laughing, and I don't know what the hell he's talking about over here.
How did I laugh? That he's fifth.
He's fifth in
what?
On his team?
He's the fifth-ranked goalkeeper in the EPL.
And by stats?
By stats.
Well, this is a ranking of ability, not stats, that Strippers sent Matt. I have no idea. I don't even know. What's the
guy's
name?
He might have a great defense in front of him.
I think stats prove ability.
No, they don't.
I think they do.
A goalie?
So Tuukka Rask was the best goalie in the NHL 2 years ago? Because he had the best stats.
Arguable.
No, it wasn't. It was so arguable that he didn't have a starting job the next year for the team he was on.
It's because he had the best goaltender in the world behind him.
Yeah, soccer stats are worthless.
It's certainly it's not the measure of ability. Let's put it that way.
Trying to help Eric,
but poor
no
Eric.
Need to yell.
getting very, very
angry. That's okay, you know.
You know what I'm upset about? I don't know who John Howard is, so I can't argue
with
him.
It's Tim Howard. Eric's like Obama. He has
John Howard's the guy that writes into the show from South Carolina or North Carolina.
Eric's like Obama. He has European sensibilities.
He is. He hates America. That's his problem.
He's trying to light another fire.
No, but he's right. That's what you hate it here. You hate it here. Just leave.
Right. Every opportunity, he leaves.
You know what? It starts at a small level, Freddie.
Right.
You know, with us here, PFW. Right. He hates us. Can't believe that he has the same job as Andy and I.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe with his vastly superior level of intellect that he's in the same profession that Andy and I are. And then it just grows from there. Like, and really, I'm living in Rhode Island, like the smallest state.
No, Rhode Island's great.
And then it just keeps on growing. It's like, really, do I need to be in America?
Yeah,
I mean, there's so much more to offer out there in Europe.
You can never be a European.
I never see you smile. I never see you smile more than the day after it's announced that the Patriots are playing in London. Am I wrong?
Oh, he's celebrating.
Am I wrong? It's like
a holiday.
It's like a whole new guy comes into work.
You would have thought he was a
country. Going to London.
You would have thought he was a country that just got the World Cup. He was just like, you know, streamers and, you know, all, you know.
So are you going to be watching the match today?
2:30? If you allow me to put it on in your office. I don't have a TV monitor anywhere else.
Boy, that one came back to bite me, didn't it?
Sam from Cali says, just want to thank you for the hard work you put in for us. I got to tell you, Tuesdays and Thursdays go by faster when you all are on.
Even first today, of all, they do for us, too.
First off, Lexi Lawless sucked, especially with that horrible beard. Clint Dempsey wasn't the leading goal scorer. He was the leading American goal scorer. Tim Howard certainly isn't the best in the world.
No, it's John. Yeah. John Howard.
Well, that is a big distinction if he's not the biggest goal scorer.
True?
He's the biggest American goal scorer.
Did you switch that on us?
No, that's a big distinction.
I said he was one of the leading goal scorers in the EPL. He's also the highest scoring American ever
in the
EPL.
So he has two goals.
50, but that's okay. You're off by, you know, 48.
Anyway, Sam says, Newer Casillas, Loris, Skettenberg, Skettenel, I don't know. These are just a few ones that are better than him, but nonetheless, he is good. I'm a huge soccer fan, and I follow
him very
closely.
Yeah, one of the
best
in the world.
U.S. is getting better in soccer. Rooney doesn't have a degree, but makes millions of bucks playing. He has been playing since he could breathe. I exaggerate, but I don't. He probably has been. Bob Kraft should give up the dream of owning a team because they will never go with a salary cap in the EPL. Cristiano Ronaldo, just because you play in the Barclays Premier League doesn't make you good. No, there are other great players that play, like, for example, Serie A in Italy,
which
in Bundesliga,
is probably
in
the
Germany,
second best league in the world.
And the Brazilian league. They're great players in those leagues, too.
MLS.
And that's why EPL is so crazy, is because when you're an owner, you're competing against other teams in the world, not just other teams in EPL.
Mm-hmm.
Like Robert said, Manchester City won. They lost $156 million. You know, they have Saudi princes that own these teams. You can't compete. They have just billions of that they can just throw at these teams. You can't do it.
A lot of rich Americans now are buying those teams, though, and throwing their money at
them. These teams are pocket.
John Henry.
Yeah, and I think in the long run, it's not going to play out well for them.
Stan Kroenke.
You know? But for some of these owners, these EPL teams are a pocket change. You know, it's just literally a hobby. You know, whereas here it's a real business. GA in South
Carolina.
Is that
going to conclude the soccer portion of the show?
Has problems with Bielo. He says my main problem with Brian is when he gets on a roll, he's talking. He has a tendency to start to ramble like a machine gun, which makes my brain hurt. And it seems like no one gets a chance to put in their own opinion. Whereas if one of you guys start to go off on a rant, no one misses a chance to jump in and give their own opinion. I respect Bielo, but only when he's on Patriots Today, not PFW. He's more of a one-man show, not made for group discussions. Tell him to take a breath once in a while. Well, you know what I think it is? I think we might be doing a disservice to Bielo.
We should interrupt him more?
Exactly. We should treat him not as a guest, but one of us, because when we start going on our rant, we yell the other guy down.
I hadn't really noticed that he rambles on and on.
Oh. But, no, I think when Bielo's on, if we treated him more like one of us and interrupted him and shouted him down, I think people would like him better.
By the way, Eric's best show ever today. What do you think?
Oh, he's been very
yelling,
animated. Very
yelling,
good.
Upset.
Very good.
Hasn't gotten red, though. Like
Flash?
Pepe gets red, but
yeah.
Good job.
His lower lip quivers.
Eric really upset defending anything but, America.
Kamani wants me to finish my explanation of how Europeans aren't big enough to play football. I kind of stopped that because I figured, I don't know if I have proof of that.
Right. You know, Sebastian Vollmer would kind of,
right,
you know.
Right.
If you noticed, I said I'm not going to continue here and say something stupid was my quote.
Right. We're just more coordinated. That's all.
For God's sake.
William writes in, this is back to the Hall of Fame thing. He says, do you guys think Jim Kelly would return his blazer in exchange for one Super Bowl ring?
He says no. Now, I don't know if it's easy to say that, knowing his career was over and he didn't win a Super Bowl and he's in the Hall of Fame. I don't know, but that's what he says.
If you asked him that in the last year of his career, said, hey, you have a chance to never get into the Hall of Fame, but you will definitely win a Super Bowl this year, what do you think he would have done?
I don't know.
Never get in the Hall of Fame?
You will not get in the Hall of Fame, but you will get your one Super Bowl ring.
Oh.
Last year of his career.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's different when you're playing.
Yeah.
As opposed to when you retire, like LT in that scenario. But I think he would take the Hall of Fame.
TG says, geez, Squiddy, at least Andy is funny when he gets pissed off. Eric
was funny.
Your condescending tone is more of a turnoff than below. Go back to France. I'd rather cut in front of Paulie in line at Bed Bath & Beyond than argue with Squidward. That nut job is likely to go postal. Wow.
I thought he was going to hit me when I showed him what Eric sent me.
I agree. That was the part that I thought was funny. He was full-fledged postal.
With all the concussion talk these days, how are you going to convince a generation of European youth to put on helmets and pads and start hitting each other? American football's roots were collegiate. Can you see the European universities starting American football programs? No, that's one of my points. I don't see the schools getting involved.
And I also, I know that there's room for more than one sport, but how, you know.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what
annoying
that
noise.
That's my buzz. My phone. Oh, okay. My phone is buzzing.
Well, you can hear it in the headphones. I know there's room for more than one sport, but don't, you know, a vast majority of European kids grow up wanting to be professional soccer players? And I just don't know how you sort of – I don't know how you lose that. Like, I don't know how you change that kind of culture. And, again, I know – listen, in America, there's a lot of kids that want to grow up to be basketball players or football players or baseball or hockey, whatever.
Right, right.
But – when you're, you know, blindly just introducing a sport, I don't know how you get enough people to want to do that sport. Like, that's why I said, you could do what Eric brought up, lacrosse. There's professional lacrosse leagues now. You could start a league in Europe, and I have no doubt that it would be filled. I just don't think it would be a very high caliber player, a play.
Right.
Because I think that most people don't desire to become professional football players, our American football
right.
players. They want to be
sure
football
right.
players. And I think the best athletes, the best of the best, are going to continue to want to play soccer.
They might.
Brian says, wouldn't it be more logical to start the NFL expansion in the South North American continents rather than attempting to go overseas? Canada enjoys football. South America is a big place. What sense does it make to make your first expansion team outside the United States in Europe? Doesn't that create a hideous logistics nightmare for teams who have to travel to and from England on a regular basis?
Well, it's just that there's already an established fan base there in the UK and other parts of Europe to a lesser degree. That's what, you know, that's what the NFL's thinking is. If you have a fan base already, then there's more likelihood that they're going to want to play the sport that they're so passionate about watching.
And, you know, speaking of Canada, too, don't we kind of see it with the CFL?
Sure.
Like, I don't think Canadians grow up wanting to be in the CFL.
No.
They want to play hockey.
Right.
They want to be in the NHL.
Well, and Sean...
And they still... I mean, it's a great... It's a, how long... How many years has the CFL been around for, you know, decades?
Yeah.
You know? And it's not a bad level of football, but it's just not NFL, or anywhere close to the NFL.
Do they always play at night?
Do they
Seems
always
like every,
play at night?
Every
no.
highlight I've ever seen of Canadian football, it's always dimly lit field.
There are two different, well, the Rogers Centre is dimly lit.
Yeah.
You probably see a lot of games there. And I think the one in Vancouver
yeah.
is an indoor place that's also sort of dimly
is
lit.
Is that the BC Lions?
Yeah.
Speaking of Vancouver, Sean writes in from Vancouver, British Columbia.
I knew that.
He says, Canada has two official sports. Lacrosse is the summer sport. Hockey is the winter. Lacrosse was the only real national sport up to 1994. Bill C-212 was introduced to make hockey the national sport, but it was amended later that year to include both sports. So they tried to get rid of lacrosse, but they couldn't.
You should have seen the face he just made.
Larry is in Worcester on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Larry.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, Larry. You sober today?
No, this is a different Larry. It's Larry from Worcester. Right. This is one as old as rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, question still stands.
The baseball, I think baseball in the Orient started because of World War II, where we were stationed in China. Yeah. And then we occupied Japan for 5 years after, and was a culture change going on within the country. And then after we occupied China, we ended up fighting the Korean War, and we had lots of troops there, and they would play baseball, and they would have the Japanese play with them.
Now, when you were over there, what position did you play?
I was a shortstop.
Okay, thank you.
Exactly what I was going to say.
I'm not quite that old. But then in China, what happened is, the Chinese took over, and a lot of the American associations with the Americans ended up going to Taiwan, and they took baseball with them. And it's an easy sport. I mean, you just need a ball, a piece of wood, and remember what the gloves looked back in the 40s and 50s. I mean, you didn't have to have, you know, an A2000 glove.
Right.
I mean, they look like leather pot. You know, we wear bigger gloves going out in the winter.
So, yeah, that's a good point, too. You know, football is a major undertaking in terms of equipment.
And basketball isn't either. Basketball is very simple.
Oh, yeah. Even easier than baseball. Yeah.
I think a good comparison in my lifetime, because like I said, I remember when there was not an American National Hockey League player.
Yeah,
and
very
I
few.
Actually knew one of the first ones from Needham. And I grew up in Newton. And we weren't... the Bobby Orr, right, spike happened, and it still took a generation after the Bobby Orr for the Americans in the Northeast to really start becoming.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul's favorite school, BU. Back in the day when I was young and wild, all their hockey players were Canadians.
Oh, well, that's largely true even today. There's a lot of Canadian players in the Hockey East.
Yeah, a lot. But it took a whole generation after we invested.
Sure.
I forget, was it $1 billion in rinks?
Oh, all the NBC rinks that came about as a result of the Bruins. Yeah.
So I think you're going to run into that kind of problem. You're going to have somebody like a Bobby Orr come out of England. And then everybody goes, wow.
Well, that's a good point.
Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that's why I don't dismiss Eric's, you know, don't tell me it couldn't happen, because it could.
It could. I mean, you know, China started really following the NBA when what's-his-face
Yao
came
Ming.
Yao Ming came.
And if the next Tom Brady happens to be born in London,
right,
that's a game changer.
Yeah,
that's a
game changer. You're right. Those types of, what do they call them, tipping points could happen, or black swan moments, Malcolm Gladwell. That could happen.
He's so deep.
And that changes everything.
And one thing about your lacrosse, football was what stepped on lacrosse and almost destroyed it. Because they took all the lacrosse players out of the major colleges, which was Yale and Columbia and all those at the time, and became football players, and lacrosse became a secondary sport.
Oh, okay.
And then it took a long time for it to even become a minor sport as it is now.
Right.
But it's growing. It's still, I agree.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't mean to take up all your time.
No, Larry, I enjoyed
you.
It, Larry.
Very informational. Thank you, Larry. Let's go to North Carolina and Ken. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
This is the guy.
Okay, yeah, you can call me the old man.
No. I just was, you know, Eric was wondering if he was sober today.
No, that was Larry. I wondered from him.
Go ahead.
Anyway, no, I'm still working. It's not 5 o'clock yet. One of the questions, not question, I agree with Fred.
I do too.
I really don't think that it can happen in a generation in Europe. Not because of size, not because of, and logistics is certainly a major problem. But you think about the AFL and the NFL back in the 40s and 50s, 60s. I mean, it really didn't tie in until 1965. And I can remember hearing arguments from my father and his friends about, is the NFL better? Is the AFL better? And, you know, finally in 1965, they had the Super Bowl, first Super Bowl. Then they joined, and it's become what it is today. And I can certainly see Robert Kraft's point where he said, look, two-thirds of the country tuned in for the Super Bowl. How much more growth do we have? From a business standpoint, I agree with him. But I think it ain't going to happen in 10 years. I think it ain't going to happen in 20 years. Yes, they can get people from this country to go to other countries to play, but they're not going to get the best of the best because our players are going to want to go to Patriots.
Yeah, New York, Chicago,
New
L.A.
York, Chicago,
yep.
Green Bay,
yep.
Rather than going to Europe. And, I mean, this is a difficult row to hoe here.
Although being rich in Europe isn't a bad thing either. You can have a good time.
Well, I think Ken's point I think, you know, I don't want to speak in generalities, but I think a lot of college kids coming out that want to play in the NFL are not going to want to play.
No, they're not going to want to,
but if they don't make it in the NFL, like a lot of the NBA players, they end up going overseas.
Yeah, but I don't think you can do it that way. I think it's going to be evenly distributed. I think you have to have equal talent in order for this to be real. That's your realistic
goal. Yeah, I thought we were talking about
is to have the talent
expanding in
Europe
good
or better than in America.
When I was a kid, there was a guy that, and this is back in the early 60s, I'd known him in the 50s, who did go to Italy to play basketball, professional basketball. He couldn't make it in the NBA, so he went over there. He's had a great life.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, I mean, and if I'm a European, I don't want to watch – if I'm an American football fan, I don't want to watch an inferior brand. That's why I don't watch MLS. I'm sorry, you know. But I'd rather watch EPL because I know that's the best.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. And I mean, maybe
whereas I watch EPL and I say, that's the best, really?
Oh.
There could be something that came up in 40 years where it could be a competitive league with ours. But football, I mean, even before the NFL, everybody watched Notre Dame and Army Navy. I mean, this is, you know, goes back even before I was born, and I'm older than all you guys.
Yeah, and as
even
the,
Fred.
And thanks. For
even
the,
Fred.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ken. And
Ken.
The emailer said before it started as a collegiate sport. I mean,
absolutely.
It was a collegiate sport. It wasn't. Brooklyn Matt says, Eric, you know why American football won't catch in Europe? Two reasons. One, it's too much specialized equipment. Soccer and baseball can flourish elsewhere because there's little needed to get a game together. And two, seen from afar, American football looks like 22 guys beating the crap out of each other. Western Europeans are too civilized to be attracted to what looks like a barbarian activity.
They play rugby. You don't get much more barbaric than that.
You know where football would catch on in that case? Eastern Bloc countries. Foster programs in places like Romania, Poland, and other oppressed locales where the males are more of that ilk. Oh, wow. Well, I don't know about that.
I mean, explain the fascination with rugby then.
Right.
Because rugby is as violent and barbaric looking a sport as you'll find.
Yeah, but the difference between rugby and football
is, I love rugby.
In rugby, kind of, there's a flow to it. Everybody's kind of moving in the same direction.
You missed that. And I love rugby. Why? European.
Right.
But we play it over here.
But
too,
in America, you can have like
a lot of high level.
You can have 10 behemoths.
Ask Ebner.
In American football, at any one given play, you can have 10 guys on the line just literally beating the crap out of each other, seemingly having nothing to do with the play that's going around them. In rugby, everyone's sort of going in the same direction. It's different. The look of it is different from someone who doesn't know the rules of either game. It's a very different look. You know,
I mean, I argue if you look at a running play, it looks like a bunch of people crammed in the middle of the field, not doing anything.
I think that is what, I mean, you know, I think Matt said, you know, people look at it in Europe and that's what they think. I think that's what football is. I mean, largely, you know, 18 of the 22 guys anyway are beating the crap out of each other in every play.
Yeah.
That's inherently what football is all about, physicality.
Right. And if you don't know the rules, you don't appreciate what they're doing.
Right.
What are those guys doing, you know?
Right. Which is like, you know, for us, well, I shouldn't say for us. For me, you know, some of the other, like rugby, I mean, I can see it. And I'm like, oh, man, like they're just killing each other. But there's a reason for it. And if you understand the subtleties and nuances of the game, you know what those are.
And Eric does because he loves rugby.
Because he loves all things European.
And you hate all things European. How long have you hated Europe?
I don't hate Europe.
Oh, no, sure you don't.
I don't hate Europe.
Then don't tell me I hate America.
Well, I think your actions speak louder than your words.
You're ridiculous.
All right, well, with
what's better in America than in Europe?
Greatest country in the world.
What's better in America than in Europe?
Yeah.
The highways?
No, they have pretty good highways over there.
What?
They're pretty good highways
over
there.
Not like our highway system. Come on.
Come on,
Eric.
The Autobahn?
You have to. Yeah, it's one road in Germany. What the hell are you talking about? All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back next week. More off-season editions. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Oh, Freddie, that was...
Nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off, taking their time right behind my back.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.